the guy says to me, a Brazilian. No, that's actually what he said. You know what he said to me?
Hey, everyone. It's the Patches and Stitches Simpson Podcast Extravaganza, the champagne of podcasts. Each week, Stitches and I take one episode of Simpsons and we dissect it like a worm. We haven't quite figured out exact format for the show, but we have agreed on things that we call segments. And one of the segments that we say we'll do every week is a quick overview of the Simpsons episode that we are going to talk about. This week, it is Stitch's duty to give that overview. Click.
In season 15, episode 12, Milhouse doesn't live here anymore. Our friend Milhouse is acting a little bit like a Bart Simpson because he's sad that his mom is moving to Capital City and taking him with him. Meanwhile, Homer stumbles into panhandling after drinking too much alcohol. After Bart visits Milhouse in his new city, Capital City, and sees that he's changed, Bart friends an unlikely friend in Lisa. Homer, learning that panhandling is a good way to gain a little extra money to buy Marge presents, continues his life as a panhandler, and some say he succeeds. Well, Marge finds out, and she's okay with it because she likes the gifts anyway. Well, as the prodigal Milhouse returns and Bart receives him with open arms, his sister Lisa is a little sad about this, and Bart realizes that Lisa's a little more important than he thought she might be, and he really comes to appreciate her. So, Patches, let's talk Simpsons.
Well, first, hello, fake aliens. What did you do with my brother Stitches? Holy cats. Did you... Oh, my goodness. You read that whole intro, did you not?
No. That was I just winged it, really.
Are you serious? Okay.
If you can't tell, then you're just losing this whole podcast. And you might know that this is just a big competition between you and me. Should I give you your free Emmy right now? What is the Simpsons deal with dissing on the Emmys?
Did they not win them? Is that it? Did they not get Emmys? I think back in the day, before they had like the cartoon Emmy, they would not get Emmys.
You know, but at season 15, I'm pretty sure that they've won a couple Emmys. But it's award shows in general because they diss on the Grammys, I know, in the past episodes. And then this one, they talk about everyone who enters the television broadcast museum wins a free Emmy. So, I don't know.
My Google bot's not working. I was going to try and look it up really quick. We'll come back to that. Any favorite parts of the episode?
So, it seems like the Simpsons really just don't like the award shows. How many Emmys do you think they've won?
I think they won about 35.
It's actually 31 Emmys that the Simpsons have won.
I just made up a number. Pretty cool.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah. But I do think that they were a little bit high and mighty, that they were looking down their nose at any kind of award shows.
Here, let me ask you this question. Do you think that they enjoy winning awards, or does it seem like it's something that they just take for granted?
I think, like most people, they like winning awards, but they want to pretend like they're above it.
That's some good insight. All right, sorry. What was it? Back to your question about the television museum.
I don't remember. Did you find anything in there funny? Did you think there was a show that kind of brought you back to the day?
Some of the references I caught, because I feel like with my older parents, like the Jeffersons and...
some of the references were pretty old.
Holy buckets. What is the guy in the wheelchair? Perry Mason, right?
So I actually... Yes, I took a little second to look it up. Ironside is what they called him.
Ironside.
And that was Raymond Burr, yes. I guess that show actually ran for like 9 years, so, but it was a little bit before our time.
Raymond Burr, the old Perry Mason, as you call him.
I love Perry Mason.
mine was a Jefferson, since they hit it so hard. I actually, after the episode, looked up a little information with Jeffersons, because that was the show that I remember moving on up. And it was like the longest running sitcom with leading black actors, maybe.
Okay.
And another fun fact was that they were not given like a series finale.
Why?
Or just canceled their show. I mean, like, it was, I think it was 11 years, at least 9, that the show was on, and then the network just canceled it. So that's pretty harsh.
Now, was that a runoff or like a spinoff from a different show?
Spinoff from Archie Bunker's. What is it just called? Archie Bunker? Yeah, George was a neighbor of Archie.
Okay. Moving on.
And then I guess, and I did not know this, another one is then The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air actually had some of the cast members on their series finale, had them come on.
Oh,
they could enjoy a series finale, yeah.
That's awesome.
That is really cool. That's why it's kind of fun looking stuff up.
Will Smith. The Nosy Neighbors and the Television Museum.
Yeah.
Was from Bewitched, and then Mr. Roper was Three's Company, and then Ned Flanders.
Mr. Roper looked absolutely evil. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Oh, so when you look at him, he has the look of a sexual predator. I mean, it is scary.
Well, have you ever Have you ever seen Don Knotts?
Because, yeah, no, it wasn't Don Knotts. It was the guy before Don Knotts.
No, Mr. Are you sure?
There was a dude that was on Company before Don Knotts.
You're right.
Him and his wife.
You're right.
And that's the guy that they did. Don Knotts was just the goofy dude that was fun. But no, the guy before him was always the one who liked to look at the girls. So even on the show, he was creepy. But in this cartoon, he was super creepy.
What was Don Knotts in Three's Company?
Mr. Roper part two. I don't know what I don't know his name. He came after the Ropers left.
Oh, Mr. Furley. He played Mr. Furley.
Oh my goodness, how did you pull that one
off? I'm just that good. All right, so what was your overall thoughts of this episode?
Very good episode. You remember a couple weeks ago I said like there wasn't a B story, it was a C story because it was so like light.
Right.
And I couldn't quite call it a B story. This one, this week, I called it A- story. I thought the B story was so strong, it could have been its own episode.
Right.
And that was, like you were saying about Homer doing the panhandling, whereas the A story was Bart and Lisa and how Milhouse leaves and then they bond. And then when Milhouse comes back, they, you know, Bart and Lisa are still good friends, kind of, but in their own way. But the B story, or what I'm calling the A minus story, was Homer panhandling and Marge at the end not liking him doing it, but liking the stuff that he's getting her from panhandling, and the panhandlers not liking how he's being so good at panhandling.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I feel like I could really relate to Homer's panhandling story, because it seems like something that I might slip into pretty easily. You know, you drink too much on the weekend and you step outside and you're singing a song and people just start throwing you money. Maybe you're dancing. I liked it.
When he started dancing, I did think of you. Definitely as something that you would do out in the street. I liked how he got panhandling advice from the panhandler, and then once he bought the diamond rings and then kept on going on, then they got mad at him.
Right.
That was funny.
You know, I thought they should really bring the cat lady into that group of hobos. Yeah.
She's like Mo. She really annoys me sometimes and just kind of like too annoying and too far off. But
if you
definitely could have been there.
If you use her right, it makes sense. And like, instead of using Devil Dog, They could have used they could have used Cat Lady, and I thought that would have been good.
So part of his panhandling was like classic Simpsons for me when he sang the Bojangles song.
Yes.
Mr. Bojangles. Who is Bojangles? Who killed Bojangles?
Maybe me.
That's classic for me because that's a line that for the next week after watching a Simpsons episode, that will be in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be walking down the street or at work or whatever, and I'll just start being like, Mr. Bojangles, who killed Bojangles? And then I'll start laughing, and then people look at me like, what are you doing? And you can't be like, I'm thinking of the Simpsons episode from Sunday. It's hilarious. And that was, once he started singing that again, it just took me right back to like, oh, this is hilarious.
And that hit me too, is that like when that part came up, I was like, I specifically remember seeing this for the first time. And I remember for weeks singing that song. And yeah, you're right. You can't be like, oh, don't you remember season 15, episode 12, where he sings that?
When he sings Bojangles.
Because people think that you are the crazy panhandler man.
Well, not only that, but then, like, whenever you hear the Bojangles song, which is not one of my favorite songs, but it immediately takes me right back to The Simpsons, and you're like, who killed Bojangles? And you don't know the word. I don't think a lot of that was actually written. Do you think that some of that the actor just kind of started ad-libbing, or do you think it was all written?
No, I think you're right. I think that Dan probably went off and he just kind of improvised. And they're like, oh yeah, this is funny.
This is
funny stuff that we got to keep this going. And then and then they put in the show.
Yep, and it's a classic moment. And it's like, that's hilarious. You can't write it because it's just, maybe it was you. favorite jokes was, or one of the favorite parts was when Nelson was on the bus.
Yeah.
And they all the kids are laughing at him because he's poor, and he keeps on saying stuff that makes him seem more poor.
Right.
And they keep laughing.
You know, part of me wanted to give, like, I really debated giving Nelson the character of the week because of that.
No, we're all right.
No.
Segment alert.
No, we're not there.
No, we're going to it.
We're not there yet. I just wanted to say that I was thinking about him. Spoiler that I am not picking Nelson this week, but he had good lines.
I'm going to do a spoiler alert. Then a character I did not pick was Ralph.
Yes.
When he came in over for to be Bart's new best friend, I'm just like, all right, buddy, you're bucking for a character of the week or whatever we're calling it. I'm gonna call it showstopper of the week. And Ralph was never in it again. He came by and was Bart's best friend for like two hilarious lines, and then he left.
I don't have to listen to you, boy mommy. And for some reason, that line has always stuck with me.
Boy mommy is something that I think you and I...
I don't like you, boy mommy. Yeah.
Is this the first episode we see the Oh Yes guy at the store when they go to costing things and he's going to buy jewelry for Marge? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes. No, I don't...
Is that the first...
No.
You think we've seen him before, maybe?
I think we have seen him before. Prove me wrong, internet. Prove me wrong, because I'm not sure. But I don't.
Are we gonna start taking polls from listeners, like, or just
absolutely? Just we're just talking.
Prove us wrong stuff.
Yeah, I feel like we're just having a conversation. So if nerds want to get all Simpsons,
okay. Quick production note is you cannot call any more listeners of our podcast nerds.
Okay.
Simpson geeks, losers. Or guys who live in their parents' basement. Okay? Can that be a rule?
Can we call them snerds?
I call them Simpson fanatics.
That's boring. Kind of lame.
And you and I are like, we're right there. So I don't know why you want to call them nerds or derogatory names.
Because nerds can be cool.
No, they can't. But we're just not good at it. We're like Simpson fanatics, but we don't remember stuff. So
we're like Simpson. We're more like Simpsons addicts. We just take it when we get it.
So addicts is a cool thing now. Is that what you're trying to? Okay. I don't know. Another funny line I'm gonna throw at you. A couple of funny lines is when Homer is in the house and Marge wants to know what he's doing, and she's questioning him, and he goes, "Marge, I'm not gonna lie to you."
Oh.
And then he just doesn't say anything.
Yes.
I love that.
This is
that one.
See, this is why people shouldn't listen to this podcast, because I think we have the same sense of humor, because I love that line, because I feel like I could adapt that into every day of my life.
It's like, I'm telling you what, though, is like, I've tried to use lines like that in real life, and people just, they get pissed.
They get weird.
If you tried to use that line on your wife, you're like, "Honey, I'm not going to lie to you," and then you just walked away, she would be so mad at you. But you would be like, "I just nailed it."
I hit that line hard. Why didn't you just stop talking to me?
Yes, exactly. She would not just be like, "Good line. Okay, I'm going to leave it be." No, she'd be like, "Get back here."
We need to talk about this. We need to talk about our feelings.
Another funny one was when they're going down the street and Homer doesn't know how to spend the money or whatever to get Marge, and there was a billboard, I think, with diamonds on it, and it says, "Because money equals love." And you know my perspective on diamonds, yes, and whatnot, so it's like, I love you, right? That was right up my alley. I was like, yep.
You know, I know your perspective on diamonds, but maybe you should share that with our audience.
Just, you know, like when any married woman shows off the biggest ring that she has, kind of like, "See, this is how much my husband loves me. This is what love is. I've got the biggest diamond, so we are the best," or whatever. It's just like,
maybe, yeah. Maybe diamonds are just beautiful and people like them. How about that?
I'm totally okay with people liking beautiful things, but when you know exactly the person who I'm talking about, and there's not one specific person, but the type of person who makes sure that you know that they have the biggest diamond ring. And I think all women kind of, step back, Patch, before I get in there. Well, I think all women,
walk it back
right away. But I have seen multiple women compare ring sizes or diamond size in their diamond, so I'm not going to say it's just one person. I think society falls into that, and I like the fact Simpsons pointed it out.
Do you think that there's a thing that guys compare that prove their worth?
Their wife's beauty.
But beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Beauty is in the behind. You're right. What?
This has all become about butts. Something that blew my mind this episode.
What was that?
And I've watched this episode, I don't know, let's say half a dozen times. So Marge finally puts something in the safe, which is behind the sailboat picture. And she pulls, yes, she pulls out the Twinkie. And Homer says, "Oh, I heard that if you keep it that long, it ferments into alcohol or something like that."
Yes.
And then the next scene, she's, you know, they're about to have sex, and she's sending the kids away, and Homer steps to the window, and he's drinking the Twinkie.
He's drunk.
He's drinking the Twinkie.
Yeah. But he's also already drunk, yes. I don't know. Was he... Are you saying, like, I think I remember now that he was actually tipping the Twinkie?
Like, he had a straw in the Twinkie. That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I guess that's what blew my mind, is that I never knew that he was actually drinking from the Twinkie.
I liked when Burns had to get rid of the guys, and he looked down at them, and they were Homer and Lenny and Carl were all goofing off at the power plant.
Mm-hmm.
And the inspectors are coming, so he's like, "We can't let Snap, Crackle, and Pop down there ruin it for all of us."
Mm-hmm.
I giggled quite a bit on that one when he called them Snap, Crackle, and Pop. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he pays for them to go to the bar and drink.
I thought it was funny that right before that, they were playing, like, Toro with a forklift, and it, like, rams Carl into the counter, and it looks like he's dead.
Oh, I did not see that. All right, I think we got to move on to Showstopper.
Showstopper. All right, my showstopper for this week is actually Bart Simpson, because I feel like he grew the most during this episode. Not only did he feel like he was, like he felt sad when Milhouse's good friend left, but then he gained some respect for Lisa throughout this episode, and I really love episodes where Bart and Lisa get together and like have that great sibling bond. Maybe because I just don't have that, and I, you know, I yearn for it. But yes. I feel like this hits it perfect.
This is like when I'm at a restaurant and my wife orders exactly what I was going to order. Except maybe I did not, or I want mayo and she didn't want mayo.
Do you order the same thing then, or do you switch it at the last moment?
No, I ordered the same thing, because hell be damned. I mean, no. So, well, you're about to find out. No, I also picked Bart. My reasoning is very similar to yours. I do like it when The Simpsons show is funny and at the same time meaningful, especially in what season is this, 15? They had an episode where they showed brother and sister in a meaningful way bonding. So that was neat. But it was really, really funny, and Bart carried the episode. I was going to do a spoiler before that. When I first saw the episode title, I thought Milhouse was going to be the guy, right? You come into the episode thinking Milhouse is going to be... And he leads off the first act really funny, being a smart mouth with Mrs. Krabappel and just being not what we think of Milhouse. And then when he goes to Capital City and all the kids think he's cool and he's M House and stuff like that, it's pretty funny. But then he was missing like what, the whole second act or most of the second act, and comes back in the third, and he was actually kind of funny in the third too, but it was Bart who carried the episode. I was trying not to pick a Simpson character to be the showstopper, but it was pretty obvious in this one that, and you could have picked Homer because of course he was hilarious, but no, I think it was pretty clear that was Bart.
Yeah, I agree. Well, obviously I agree.
And I think this proves to everyone that you and I do not talk before we start these podcasts at all.
But do you think as we go on that all of our showstoppers are going to be exactly the same people?
Again, like you said before, you and I are competitive, so we're going to try to think of a showstopper and think of neat reasons why. I think 50% of the time will be the same.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Any nuggets? Hey, can we start a new... Let's call the new segment called Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Any nuggets? You already had one where I didn't see, where Carl actually got impaled by the forklift. Mine was Milhouse's imaginary friend. You know his name?
Nathan?
Walter.
Walter. Dang
which
it.
Which is what I begged Mom and Dad to name you. Did you ever know that?
I did know that.
Yes, I wanted them to name you Walter so bad, and they wouldn't.
Thank God.
Yes. So that was his imaginary friend. Did you have a nugget?
I do have a couple nuggets. Let's see. Homer's hobo names are Mucciolini, Drooly McGee, and Corporal Flashback. And the restaurant that... that Scratchy goes into is called Mickey Mao's.
Okay.
He's going into a Chinese restaurant. Spoiler.
I want to talk about that joke then, since you talked about Homer's names. He's going to be the crazy hobo guy, and he's like, Pepsi and Coke taste the same.
Yes.
Have you ever thought Pepsi and Coke actually taste the same? Or
I don't.
Or I mean, they taste a little, not exactly the same, but similar at least. Or how about this? Okay, maybe not, but how about the people that love Pepsi and hate Coke or vice versa? What do you think of those people?
I think that's it's the same people who like different light beers. Is that
yes?
You just get used to something, yes. And they do taste a little different, and it's not absolutely different, but you just
the light beer people upset me much more than the Pepsi Coke people do, and the people argue about what light beer tastes the best. It's just like, this is ridiculous. Well, not just what tastes the best, but like, they will not. I will not drink that brand because my brand is good. And you're like, no, it's light beer. Okay. That's all I want. I needed to talk about that. So, hey, Stitches, I have an answer for a question that you had last week.
All right. Go ahead.
You had a question about the movie and why the Simpsons movie. Why did they use Arnold instead of Wolfcastle? Rainier.
Okay.
I thought about it all week and I figured out the answer. The answer is that if they would have used Rainier Wolfcastle, they couldn't have used him in any more episodes. Because us Simpsons addicts would have been like, you can't use Rainier anymore. He was the president in the movie. You know, why is he not still the president, or he's the ex-president or whatever?
Okay.
So the Simpsons did not want to ruin Rainier Wolfcastle because they thought maybe we could use him later, so that's why in the movie they used Arnold, so that was, you know, I mean, they could just be done with it.
I absolutely disagree, because they could
really,
yes, because Simpsons could do anything with Rainier Wolfcastle and nobody would care. Is that he could have been president for 4 years, because that movie was 8 years ago or more, depending on when you're listening to us. Listen to this podcast, and they could say, oh, he went back to civilian life and he's a movie actor now. They could say
they couldn't use him. They would have to admit that he was once president, though.
No, not if it didn't pertain to the story. Why would they have to preface it every single Rainier Wolfcastle plot line with, oh, former president?
You would have to have security. You would have to have Secret Service there. Otherwise, you and I would talk about how Rainier Wolfcastle was once president, and why does he not have Secret Service, and why is he living in Springfield?
Secret Service is here to protect, not to be seen. So you don't have to see them in anything. They can just be there around. Maybe they're behind the camera.
So this is your opinion that what they could have done, but will you at least give me some credit that that's why they did it?
No. I will give you no credit. You will not pass go. You will not collect any sort of capital city money from me.
All right. What's your rating? Here's another segment. Segment alert. What's your rating?
Segment alert. I give this one a 5 capital city brewery dogs.
Is that good or bad?
That is average. It's an average episode. This is what you should this is what you should expect from every Simpson episode.
I'm going to give it 2 bloody noses out of 3, meaning it is above average. I think your bar is too high. I think this was a very good episode. It had, like I said, an A-minus story. I love when the Simpsons, they change. Sometimes they have no B story. Sometimes they have a bit of a B story. I thought this episode was funny. It was very meaningful. Homer and Bart, good. And we've already said, who was it? Milhouse had good lines. Nelson had good lines. Ralph had some good lines. So, above average, not classic. I'm not going to give it the classic. Classic is going to be my highest rating.
Classic.
But I'm going to say it's above average.
All right. There you go. All right, so what are we watching for next week?
Next week, we are going to go back a few seasons. Season 10, Episode 7, Homer to the Max. How do people get in touch with us if they want to correct any of our wrongs?
Well, they can tweet us at Stitches and Patches on Twitter, or they can leave a message on our Anchor app, leave us a voicemail.
How's our Twitter account doing?
Uh, How's it doing?
Yeah.
Oh, it's super high. Yeah. We're some say we're blowing up Twitter. I don't know.
Okay. They haven't. Okay. Good.
So, thanks for listening, and we'll see you back next week.
Hopefully, we'll see somebody back next week.
Are somebody. You'll hear us next week? I don't know how to put this.
I don't know why I was going to see you.
The Patches and Stitches Simpson Podcast Extravaganza is brought to you by the Patches and Stitches Family Foundation.
Laugh it up, Fuzzball.